relax. You'll laugh when you tell that we're Animaniacs. Come join the Warner Brothers
and the Warner Sister Dot.
Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. But we break loose and bend the moose, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs. Dog is cute and Yakko yaps. Wacko Pax wears the snaps while Bill Clinton plays the sax. We're Animaniacs. Meet Pinky and the Brain, who wants to rule the universe. Put Blathers Pot together, Slappy whacks him with her purse. Button saves his Mindy, Marina sings a verse. The writer's script, we have no script, my father to rehearse.
We're Animaniacs. We have pay-or-play contracts.
We're zany to the max, there's baloney in our slacks. We're Animaniacs, totally insane.
Here's the show's name-y.
Animaniacs, those are the facts.
Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 143. This week, we're bringing you Animaniacs, and we'll explain why in a second. Before we get there, let's introduce our panel. We have Wes.
It's time for Animaniacs, and the song's too long for this intro.
Well, it better not be, because that's the song that's going to be on the intro when we do this
well,
episode.
Well, for my intro anyway, it's too long for my purposes. I could sing the entire song if you really wanted me to.
Could you
but
really?
I don't know. I can sing at least. No, actually, Freakazoid's the one I know a little bit better, but the anime.
Oh, everyone, who doesn't know Freakazoid, though?
Yeah, true.
90s kids that weren't awesome. Those people don't know Freakazoid.
Runs around yep. In underwear. We have Trent, who is a Freakazoid.
Greetings from Canada. It's awesome to be back.
In Canada or in general?
No. I never left the homeland. It's good to be back to the podcast. For anyone listening, the reason why you haven't heard me is not because I've been fired yet. It's because I've been moving. So it's good to finally be settled and being able to scream at you two over a podcast once again is pretty magical.
This will be nothing to scream about this week.
This Animaniac, what do we have to scream about?
And we have Trent's friend joining us from Trent's apartment, Jeff.
Hi. That's all I got. Hi,
Jeff.
I'm special, I guess.
He knows more than one word.
It's true, I do. My vocabulary doesn't just consist of hi, I promise.
Hi.
You'd be like Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor. You always know what he's saying, but he's only
Hodor,
saying
Hodor. Oh,
it's like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yes. I choose you, Hodor 2.
I really hope everyone watches Game of Thrones and they're not going to understand this reference at all.
Yeah.
Most of my audience, I'm up to season 2. I have not seen season 3 yet. So
we are 2 episodes away from finishing season 3. Our group of friends has been watching it every week, and shit's getting crazy. So, I'm excited. I think I'm going to go back and read the books, actually, now. But, yeah.
Okay.
After that, holy crap, divergent topic.
But, well, yes.
This happens every time I'm on the show.
It's true, actually.
It happens any time somebody's on this show. If we wanted to stay on topic, it's going to have to be one person talking to themselves the entire time. But
usually that's you, bro.
This happened. But yes, this week, Animaniacs. The reason for that is on September 13th to 1993, Animaniacs debuted on Fox Kids. So this Friday, perfectly timed, will be the 20th anniversary of this show. So we figured what better time to talk about it and what better way to feel old than talking about a show that came out 20 years ago and you remember from your childhood.
It's been 20 years. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Lord, man. Wow.
Yeah. You made me feel awful in one sweeping comment, Earl.
12 years old when that debuted. But, well, actually, no, I was 11 into going about to turn 12 years old when it first debuted in 93.
Well, I would have been 4.
Yeah.
Well, I'm even older than you. Even older.
And I mean, just to kind of complete the trifecta, we're not talking about it this week on the show, but it also ended up being the 20th anniversary of Legends of the Hidden Temple and SWAT Cats this week as well.
Really?
So, Yeah, I guess this was kind of the time shows for the premiere. I mean, this is like the week after we went back to school. If you were to go back 20 years.
Stop and reflect on how awesome the 90s were for cartoons.
Seriously.
It's nice to see that things are finally dipping into that territory again. Like, we have Adventure Time. We have, like, the normal show. Like, there's a whole bunch of decent cartoons that are out now. But it feels like there's been this gaping void since, like, 2000, essentially, up until just recently, where I don't think many awesome cartoons really came out. Maybe that's just me, though. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
I feel like it's half and half. I feel like part of it is that we... You know, as you get older, you don't pay attention to it, and then you just kind of dip into stuff that kind of has, I guess, more of an adult lean or something that your other friends are talking about, because there are a lot of cartoons on air. I'm not necessarily saying they're good shows, but there are shows on the air that I probably wouldn't watch, but I kind of know they exist, because like that Max Steel just premiered, and the reason I know that is because I watch Marvel Universe, and they have commercials for it all the time. You did that on the DC Nation. It comes on one of those channels. I can never keep track.
Justice League and Green Lantern. There's been some really decent DC shows too. Now that I think of it,
it's been the strongest one.
Avatar, Legend of Korra, Ninja Turtles, the new one that's on. You mentioned what is it? Adventure Time. The Imaginary Friends one, which name I can't remember.
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
There we go.
God, I hated that show.
I never could get into it either, sadly. I liked bits and pieces of, but I never could really invest myself into it.
I just never really cared for the characters, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a character named Blue when he was blue. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Creativity at its peak, right?
Creativity at its peak. One thing I will say that I miss about ancient cartoons, and we will we mentioned this with Wesley's introduction, is theme songs. We don't really get any memorable theme songs.
No, we don't! Because we don't at all anymore. We don't really get the cool.
Part of it is it's an additional 30 seconds or a minute they can sell you commercials.
That's true.
See, like, I don't mind some theme songs, but I feel like they get kind of gnawing. You know, over time, they get kind of annoying. Like, it's something that I kind of wish I would skip. Whereas, like, not once have I ever wanted to skip the Batman the Animated Series theme. You know what I mean? Like, there is something to be said about, like, orchestral themes for cartoon shows.
I'm a huge fan of that as well, but I'm also a fan of what I call the summary theme songs, where they pretty much explain the entire plot of the TV show in the intro. G.I. Joe, Transformers, like those shows that give you... yeah.
The entire premise is there.
I mean, granted, you have a show that has an entire premise you can sell within 30 seconds. Probably not the deepest show to begin with. But...
Not very deep, no.
No, but my word, so much fun.
Yep. Yeah, it's a ton of fun, and we don't really get those. But, I mean, you know, kind of bringing us full circle, Animaniacs is one of those shows that actually does kind of explain this show, but it's such a weird show.
I almost feel like Animaniacs is like the Seinfeld of children's cartoons. Because when you think about, like, all the logistics, like, it was kind of a show about nothing for the most part. Like, an odd thing would happen in an episode, and they would make a big deal of it, and then it would become a big thing. But for the most part, they just kind of stayed around the Warner Brothers park, right?
They had some episodes where they traveled around, but a lot of the times, like, something crazy happens, and the Warner siblings wreak havoc, or... Like, I was just before the podcast started, I actually watched an episode where they made fun of Barney, because, you know, 90s make fun of Barney.
Yeah, why not?
And Baloney, and it was a Baloney and Friends, and the Warner siblings were interacting with the Baloney. And I went, oh, God, that's glorious. Yeah, that was pretty good. I remember that really. And I was like,
Fiction was kicking ass around that time. Freakazoid, Animaniacs. The Tiny Toon Adventures.
If you ever really want to get crack yourself up a little bit, is
no pun,
and no pun. But you ever really want to? You ever look at how a lot of those shows, the amount of jokes they got away with?
Yes, and Animaniacs is huge for that.
They always like the line, yeah.
The sly little jokes they would slip in.
Yeah.
I think the one I see...
the nurse? Hello, nurse?
Hello, nurse!
God, could she be any more voluptuous?
Yeah. I was say, the one that I see often nowadays is the Prince one, where they're talking about fingering Prince.
No, fingerprints.
Yeah, fingerprints. And she's like, I don't think so.
And I'm like, wow. I imagine us as kids, we were like, woo!
Yes.
Right over our heads now.
Well, it didn't treat it like, unlike everything that Disney was putting out at the time, and I do love Disney, but, like, Warner Brothers didn't treat their audience like dumbasses. And I think part of that was because Steven Spielberg was kind of involved from a direction point of view.
And that was the best part about it. And it was really funny whenever I was watching. There was a great interview that that Doug Walker did for That Guy with the Glasses about talking to four of the Animaniacs cast members. And, like, one of the, like, it was, like, the guy, it was, like, Rob Paulsen, Paul Rugg, who also did the voice of Freakazoid, and I can't remember the other lady who was involved, but it was like, but they were talking about how their adventures with that series, and especially talking about how they always had a little trouble with the censors. Like, the censors went, what? And
well, so many shots of the censors in the show.
And they had, but usually if they ever had any major trouble, all it was them calling Steven. It's like, Steven, they're giving us a little too much crap here. Can you? 5 seconds later. Okay, it's all good.
Good.
because they wouldn't mess with Steven Spielberg, because, let's face it, if Fox were to tick off Steven Spielberg, there's a chance they wouldn't get their next movie from Steven Spielberg or a project or whatever they'd want to do with them at some point in the future.
Yeah.
That was pretty powerful, which is why those shows could kind of get away with murder.
Yeah, but I kind of love that they got there's a real identity to it that I feel like a lot of cartoons tend to lack. I mean, every cartoon has characters and a premise and a setting and, like, some sort of arc. But the cool thing about Animaniacs is that there was so much charisma to everyone involved in the show that it even got, like, spin-off shows, like Thinking the Brain.
Yeah.
So, like, people were so invested in even the most minor of characters.
Which in itself got a spinoff, which we probably won't talk about here.
No.
What was that spinoff?
Pinky and the Brain and Elmira.
Oh,
right.
It was awful.
Why did you do this to us?
But, I mean, just, you know, does anybody know the origins of Animaniacs and how it came to be?
Well, it was originally supposed to be three brothers until someone at the network suggested that one of them should be a girl. And naturally, I mean, like,
they just
made her the most blanket kind of, like, it's kind of like the Smurfette principle. They took someone who looks exactly like the boys and put a dress on them. And her whole reason for being in the show is to act girly or to be abducted or, you know, like to be the stereotypical girl. So I know there's some Tumblr feminists out there that are probably not big fans of Dot, but I think she's hilarious.
But Dot actually got the show her chances to be awesome within the show.
Oh, she did.
More than their fair. Then they kind of said, okay, we got Dot in here. Let's make her awesome. Let's make people like, let's endear people to her and make her not just like, as you said, the Smurfette, and just kind of go, okay, let's see what we can do to make her as awesome. And they really went nuts with Dot sometimes.
Yeah.
Just as much as anyone else. So I think that's what I liked about it. Everything was pretty much just full. I mean, that was just one of those shows that, like, even Dot, like, man, this is hilarious. She's awesome. And I and it was interesting. I was just thinking about this a little bit, too, is even further looking into it, it was there really a truly bad episode of Animaniacs? Like any major clunkers?
No, I mean, like just like Freakazoid, there are episodes that are less memorable, but I don't think anything, like, kind of falls out, you know?
I also think that there are weaker parts of the show, because it had a non-traditional setup for a cartoon, at least back then, where it wasn't like, you know, like, sometimes you'd have a core theme and it'd be the entire episode. Sometimes it'd be three shorts. You know, and sometimes it wouldn't even focus on the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot. Like, I actually just finished watching an episode before this we started recording, and the first story was Pinky and the Brain Radiated, and the other one was Minerva.
Oh, Minerva Mink.
Yeah. So there were no, you know, there was no Wacko, Echo, and Dot part of that episode. They did voiceovers at various parts, but there was no core story with them in it. So, you know, like, you don't see that often. Like, how often do you see a TV show where the main stars aren't actually in an episode?
Actually, like, my biggest weakness for the show would be the pigeons. I had something fierce for those pigeons. I don't even know what it was. The
good feathers?
Yeah, the
bird.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. These gangster pigeons that are just hanging out.
I thought they were great.
I like the good feathers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Slappy Squirrel.
Slappy Squirrel was hilarious.
Slappy Squirrel, yeah, she was great. And it was funny how... Now, Slappy is where things really downright subvert. Like, I always think some of the Animaniac stuff, and the main Warner Sibling stuff was pretty nutty. It was pretty crazy at times, but Slappy is where they really sometimes went cut loose with the subversive.
Well, it was so slapstick as well. Especially that segment was really slapstick. Kind of made it awesome. Yeah.
They went downright old school with that and went, yeah, let's just go nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of hinted at Pinky and the Brain earlier, and other ones, and they were so big that they got their own spinoff. Rita and Runt.
Yeah, Rita and Runt. You know, some people aren't as big on Rita and Runt sometimes as some of the other stuff, but I kind of liked it. As it was really trippy for me as I got older, and especially as I started watching like more, and I started realize that Bernadette Peters did the voice of Rita back then. It's like, really? Southern Gun.
You know what's funny? Like, I never realized at the time, like, they always had those sequences where they would see, like, a Batman shadow in the distance and, like, the scores from the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, like, how the fuck do they get away with this? And then only as an adult did I realize that they were produced by the same company. I feel like, wow, they're really pushing the boundaries if they're taking such accurate jabs at Batman. But no, they just already own the property.
Well, like, they did crossovers. They did, like, little crossover Animaniacs did little crossovers all the time. I mean, they did have one episode where the Tiny Toons popped up.
Yeah, there was one episode where they had the Tiny Toons pop up,
I think.
I would make sure of that. I mean, it's both pretty big.
I'll be in, like, research mode for a sec. I can still talk. But I'll be in research mode, because I remember...
Going through the
rest I may be wrong, but I can somewhat remember this from a kid.
Buttons and Mindy's were another pair of, I guess, characters on the show. I was never too keen on that.
Right. Characters from Tiny Toons Avengers also made appearances in some episodes of Animaniacs. Okay, good. I didn't remember right.
But yeah, Buttons and Mindy, I was never too huge on, because... The premise was okay, but it just felt like it was a kind of one-note joke that they kept on repeating, because it was always like he would try to protect her, and she just, like, would subvert everything while he's getting his ass beat.
Which one is this?
I liked it, actually. I always thought, like, I remember growing up thinking, like, that's the type of dog I would want, you know?
Definitely.
And then the Warners also had their group of sidekicks, which we mentioned, Hello Nurse, who I believe that was her name.
Well,
she was never named in this show.
She was just Hello Nurse, I do believe.
Who was the old dude with the thick glasses and the bald head?
Dr. Scratch and Sniff.
There was Ralph.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing? I cannot do a good Ralph, I'm sorry, but it's been a while.
They had that, there was an episode when they had that Mary Poppins knockoff nanny.
Yes, I remember that.
Who I think ended up being like a homeless woman that they found in the street or something like that. Yeah, there was a. I mean, the thing with it is like, and we'll get to this. It's like I remember watching the show, but I can't remember like exact episodes and exact plots because it's been so long since I've actually watched this consistently. I guess I'm disappointed. I don't believe it's on Netflix, is it?
No,
it's not. It's on. It's on the Hub. I know they do air it on the Hub here, but it is also all out on DVD. That much I do know, but. Yeah, I'm surprised no one's streaming it at all, and that's a shame, because I'd actually like to just be able to click and just go, okay, a couple hours of marathon, let's do this.
I assume that's probably why they don't do it, is so you can buy the DVD, and they can, because everybody wants their own service set up. I mean, I'm one of the so few things on streaming, even after setting up a deal with Netflix. But yeah, I guess, like, do you folks have any fond memories, like episodes that you remember that stick out in your head?
I'm actually trying to think, because there's bits and pieces of stuff that, like, I remember one of the last episodes they aired on WB was like a giant Star Wars parody they did.
Everybody does Star Wars parody.
That was actually a lot of fun. It was actually a lot of fun, but they also did a couple other, like, it was really weird with Animaniacs near the end of the run for it, because once it switched over to Kids WB, it became a lot more sporadic how they aired it. I always remember my first time watching it as a kid more than anything, because it's like, wow, like 11-year-old me watching this crazy anarchistic show and going, wow, this is the funniest thing ever. Like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And of course it was like in the day of choose your gem of cartoon in the early 90s, because let's face it, Animaniacs is just one of many.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, wow, this is a great cartoon. Then I have another great cartoon following it. Wow.
Yeah, it was the heyday.
Yeah. But Animaniacs, like, I wish I could remember a specific episode, because
I feel like it's hard, because they're like, and Jeff and I were talking about this earlier tonight. There's a lot of one-offs in Animaniacs. There's very few arcs that carry over episodes. There are themes that stay consistent, but like usually it's like, we're gonna go here and do this, so we're gonna go do this, so we're gonna meet up with this guy, or we're gonna find this person, you know.
The only thing that's probably quirky about Animaniacs, especially when I was watching Baloney episodes, is the episode at Baloney sketch, but is the only thing that's probably dated about the show is the pulp culture references.
Well, yeah. And his saxophone are in far too many episodes of WB cartoons.
Yeah. And while Bill Clinton plays the sax, it's Animaniacs.
Speaking of the theme song again, another thing that they did differently, because you reminded me when they switched to the Kids WB, they had multiple versions of the theme song depending on the network they were on.
Yeah.
And they even went back further on, because after the show was canceled and they were syndicated on Nick, they did a version of the song with Nick, because Nick didn't want to rival network's name in the theme song.
Was always weird to me that Nickelodeon, owned by Viacom, would air a Warner Brothers show. I'm like, okay, that did always strike me a little bit weird.
It seems weird at times, but it isn't, because at the same time, there are a lot of network shows that are owned by different companies that own other networks, but it's like somebody else picks it up, so they air it anyhow. Like, I didn't know, like, a recent example was Scrubs, which was aired on NBC, but was actually owned by an ABC company, which is why the final season switched to ABC, because they had first rights when it was canceled by NBC, or something weird like that.
And it is true. I mean, and then Fox back in the day, they were the main reason why they were airing the Warner Brothers cartoons was because before that point, Warner Brothers didn't have their own network. And then once Warner Brothers got their own network, they swooped all those properties as much as they gosh darn well could and put them under their banner faster than you could blink.
I still can't believe that the WB merged with CNET.
What was the CW before?
It was UPN.
UPN, there
you
go.
Yes, that's it.
WB merged with UPN because I remember I remember the circumstances were, it was around that weird, it's like, because like, we're not doing, our networks suck, our ratings are sucking. And then UPN said, wow, our network's ratings are really sucking. It's like, all right, you know what? Let's merge together and pull our resources and just have a cooperative network with our two network, our two things merging together and see what comes out of it. And pretty much Warner Brothers kind of took over most of the network.
Oh, okay. They air Supernatural. I'm happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
They also air Arrow, which is an amazing show.
Arrow is an amazing show. Yeah.
Arrow, Supernatural. I love that they're going to be on the same night soon.
Smallville was on there too, right?
Wait, aren't Arrow and Supernatural on the same night now?
Yeah, they're on the same night now, but they're going to... Yeah, they're setting up as, like, they're making, like, a big giant to-do over it now.
Ah, okay.
They're setting up as, like, one.
As long as they don't move it to Friday nights.
They're not moving it to Friday nights.
The death zone.
That's where you go to watch Nikita die.
Yeah.
Well, I guess another aspect of Animaniacs that people were huge on, I know I was personally, were the songs. I wouldn't be ashamed to say that, you know, a lot of people earned deep the nations of the world through Animaniacs. Or at least it had a very catchy song, and I'm trying this out, so if this works, yay. If it doesn't, I'm sorry. So let's see if this actually works.
The Nations of the World, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
Does anybody remember this song?
Yes, I just listened to it Republic before Dominican, the podcast started. Caribbean,
Greenland, could you sing along?
No.
Rico,
Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, no
way. Jeff is nodding his head. I'm like, not that I can sing.
Rico, I'm just like, yeah. Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay,
Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. I'm just grooving to the music right now. Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and
Germany now want peace. There's a lot of xylophone for this song.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to have a whole video of this song playing, but we'll have it in the background to make it finish out, because it's an amazing song.
It is really good. There's also another one where they had Yakko singing the... Was it Yakko or Wakko who sang all the ice cream, the ingredients to, like, food?
There's like... That was probably Wakko. Wait.
I think that was Wakko who did that one. He sang the entirety of all the ingredients in, like, ice cream.
Hmm. Yeah, I probably the one character that I always wished while watching the show actually had some sort of dimension. He always just seemed to, like, go along with whatever was happening, but they never really gave him the spotlight that often until the Christmas special.
Yeah. And also, it's like the other thing, it's like, I also always enjoyed, like, watching, like, the random, like, celebrities they would make fun of, especially, I always remember I think I was probably one of the few people, like, to fully get the Jerry Lewis thing they did, especially Wacko's reaction to, scary clown man, away, scary clown man, like, cannot get my voice that high right now, woo! Wakko, nice mister, like, come on, I'm just here to entertain and amuse you, or something like that. And it's like the whole episode, Wakko just torch beating the crap out of this Jerry Lewis clown. I'm like, oh, this is glorious. And
you realize, yeah,
and by the way, I apologize now for my horrible impression there. I tried. I'm not good at Jerry Lewis.
You realize that if the show was on today and they were still making pop culture references, Yakko would be twerking on Wakko.
Yeah.
There'd be so much twerking on the show. It would be insane. God.
Yeah, but I feel like they would do it respectfully. Okay, this is what
you do. How do you do twerking respectfully?
Yes, they would do it. They would do the twerking respectfully.
It would be respectful.
Well, I was thinking more in comparison to something like Family Guy, which also makes it different off of parodies, but it does it in such a, oh, remember that one time, and it's not really a clever setup, it's just kind of like, here's a one-note joke, and we'll do it, where Animaniacs would work the jokes into the show, or...
It'd be like a sketch, and they would act, and it would be, done organically as an entire, like, full parody rather than just random thing here, random thing there. Yep, here's another thing. Okay. Watch Shrimps repeat.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because I guess Family Guy produces a more cohesive show, if you want to say that, where it has a set of characters, it has a plot progression and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think it does it as well. I don't really know if any cartoon has done what Animaniacs done as well. I guess that's the reason we're talking about Animaniacs 20 years later.
No. And it's the only, one of my things I always like saying is, if something's good, if something is really good, it's timeless.
Yeah, I mean, that is the greatest test of all. I mean,
and it's like, if something's good, it, some aspects of it may not have aged well as others, but it's still dang good, and if you're still talking about it now, then, yeah, you've done something right.
And as we mentioned, it's still on TV. You could catch it on the Hub. It's been on Disney XD. No, I think it's been on Disney XD. It was on Nicktoons. I want to say it's been, WB doesn't have a network for, oh no, they have Boomerang, don't they?
They have Boomerang. I don't know if they ever aired it on Boomerang.
I don't know if they ever aired it on Boomerang either. That would be a missed opportunity. No, they aired on Boomerang as well. Reruns of the show have aired on Cartoon Network, Boomerang, Nickelodeon, Nicktoons, and the Hub Network.
Okay.
I don't know what Boomerang is nowadays, but that's just me.
Boomerang, well, I know they still show, they're still like the Cartoon Network house of like pretty much everything, but they don't really do much else with Boomerang. They don't really, it's like, it's just where they put all the, like, the random reruns and so forth, but they don't do anything else with it.
Okay. So yeah, I knew we were doing this episode this week, so I also sent out, I asked for suggestions and stuff, and people sent in various things, and we'll read those off in a bit, but one of them that somebody sent me, and they sent me a link to, was the Animaniacs Please, Please, Please Get a Life Skit, which is really even more true nowadays with the internet. And in Yakko's world, Tibet is not technically a country. Where people just kind of pick apart everything that's wrong with it. MC² is not the relativity formula, it is the mass energy conversion formula. And Slappy's driving a Dodge Viper, but races the Roadrunner, which was the name of a Dodge Charger RT variant in the 60s. And the numbers in that Yakko's Universe song are so wrong, it's hardly enjoyable. And in the theme song, it's pay or play contracts, not pay for play. Some people think it's for, but it's or. I thought it was pay for pay.
And in the Pinky and the Brain title, the Tokyo Movie Shinjo version, which is on ones, it has BH90201, which is supposed to be BH Beverly Hills 90210. How could they get that wrong?
So yeah, he goes on and on, and then the Warner Siblings come in, and they basically just start dropping pianos on people. When they start criticizing or nitpicking random things.
I feel like
it rings even more true nowadays with the internet culture, and I'm sure you've seen some of the movies come out and everybody will have the top 5 things that were wrong with this film, or the top 5 reasons we didn't enjoy this movie, and nonsense like that, or the top 5 plot holes, inconsistencies. I mean, I think IMDb has a whole section for each movie on goofs and quirks and all that other fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't a place for it. It's just that some people really make it hamper their enjoyment of things, which is what they weren't trying to be malicious with this skit. I hope not anyhow.
I think they were being more like, okay, that's nice you caught that, but bam, here's a piano on your head. Like,
well,
there you go.
Conan O'Brien does the same thing, though, eh? Like, whenever someone tries to write in to correct them, he uses that as an opportunity to make fun of the person, you know?
Which is fair, but
it is fair. I mean, like,
it's fair game.
Seriously, who the hell does not have enough of a life to, like, remove themselves from correcting something so minuscule, you know?
And the thing is, I assume that these people take a huge joy in it. They're probably like, yes, I'm the first person to figure this out, and I'm going to point it out to them, and I'm going to show them they're wrong. I would also assume on the other end there are probably people who just want their 15 minutes, like, he's going to read my ad, and people are like, oh, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, and then you're going to get ripped on the air, more than likely, if it's the right or wrong person you did that to.
Yeah, but you get
attention for your. Some people are like, boy, I got attention.
Yeah, some Daddy. People don't care how they get attention as long as they get attention, which can be a negative. Well, that is a negative thing. But what can you do? Getting back to this, I think I found your food song. If I can actually figure out where I put it. Which I don't remember where I put it. So, yeah, I'm trying. We had the same problem, I think, when we did the Batman Animated Series show. It's like, it's great to talk about, but it's like, oh man, this show was awesome. Oh yeah, that was awesome, and this is awesome. And then it's like, there's really not much to fill in between them. Like, it wasn't a show that was, you know, it didn't have a lot of controversy. It wasn't a show that, I don't think it got the network in trouble. Actually, apparently it did get the network in trouble in a certain way, in that it was canceled because it garnered a more adult audience than the kids' audience they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
And in a kid's sign-up, that's not really a good thing, I guess, because you're not advertising towards that audience. So while you're...
Whatever. The show won Emmys because it was the way it was.
Yeah, but it was canceled because it wasn't putting in kids. Which is odd, because we're all kids who grew up watching it.
Exactly.
Granted, by the time it got canceled, I was like 14, so I guess I would be out of that market anyhow. But, yeah, here is the food song.
Isulfate, oxide beta-carotene, lactic acid carabine. Grade A milk emulsified, maltodextrin alkalide, silicon deoxylide, lots of sugar,
hey, all right.
Calcified synthetic salt, artificial barley malt, glycerin and aspartate, folic acid,
that seems great,
monosodium glutamate, dehydrated calciumate, soybean oil, butter fat, caramel center,
all of that.
Hooray for sugar, cause we love it, chocolate chips, we want more of it, cakes and ice cream, want to shove it down our throats real fast.
Which is amazing that they actually found a beat to this to make it sound enjoyable.
Gelatin, triglycerin, phosphate, soybean, lecithin, deoxylite, trisilicon, dipped in chocolate.
Bring it on!
Citrus enzymes, BHT, powdered milk,
sounds good to me!
Baking soda, carob gum, carbohydrate,
yummy yum,
monosodium glutamate, zinc disodium amalgamate, whole grain flour, yeast, and fat.
Fun to eat it, I'll do that.
Like sweets a lot, so give us all you got. Have a couple minutes, bodies don't make our insides rot. Okay. Sorry. Like, the names of these are, like, as long as your arm, almost. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I had not heard that in a long time. Wow.
There are a lot of songs, and we'll kind of get through some more in a bit. Let's see, what else? Okay, I asked for some certain... several people mentioned the Prince skit, which we brought up earlier, about the fingerprints, and his reactions. You can actually see that. That pops up often on Tumblr as well. I think the other one that pops up on Tumblr is the O-Peak joke, where it's a visual pun. This one we haven't mentioned. We actually haven't mentioned a lot of the, like, I guess, not necessarily the, what do you call it, intercessuals? The things that kind of go in between skits.
Good idea, bad idea.
Yeah, good idea, bad idea was the one somebody mentioned, and there was the word morality as well.
There was the, and one thing Randy Beamer said.
But yeah, good idea, bad idea was usually pretty, I know the word morality was put in because it was mocking, like, kids, you know, like the PSA that kids shows would do at the end,
yeah.
G.I. Joe did it. I think this was before, well, this is after Animaniacs, but Sailor Moon ended up doing it, which I think was something added to the American version.
It was.
Because
oh, Lord, yes. Sailor Moon says.
Yes, there were a lot of them that did it, and it was always such awful, awful stuff, but they did it.
Yeah, one thing I don't miss is the PSAs.
I forget if we did an episode of this. I wanted to do a very special episode.
Oh, God.
I think we have done that, actually. But yeah, I love those. You don't get those anymore.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are actually pretty funny in their own right. Like, the G.I. Joe PSAs are hours of entertainment to be had by all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I mean, PSAs were kind of always hokey and over the top, but they were fun, and they were innocent. They meant well.
Yeah, they did.
Mime Time?
Yes, Mime Time.
Chicken Boo? I don't remember Chicken Boo. I know the name, but I don't remember what it is.
It's Chicken Boo was the chicken who didn't think he was a chicken, but everyone thinks he's actually a person. But he's really a chicken. Chicken Boo.
Chicken Boo.
Chicken Boo. The one that I always think is, like, a lot of the interstitials, like I said, always the Randy Beamer one's the one that cracked me up, because it was always, like, the most insane random thing. It's like, okay, bye. Gotta go now, okay, bye. Back into the house. After saying whatever his friend Randy Beamer told him.
Not Randy Beamer. Oh, okay, we get... this is one thing I hate about weather, and this is a huge distraction. It's for some reason people's car alarms go off with certain weather. High winds, rain, lightning and thunder apparently now. And nobody's ever around, so this is just it going off and off. Who's on stage? Burping the alphabets.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. As roses are thrown at the stage at Wacko.
I do not have that song either. I really should have more songs beforehand. But I do have their multiplication song.
Oh, God.
Yacko?
Because yes, yearning is fun.
I want you to multiply 47 times 83. 7 times 3 is 21, which, as you know, is just 2 tens plus 1, and so we put the 1 right here, and we carry the 2, 1 left to the top of the tens place, right next door, and we put it on top of the number 4, which is really 4 tens that we multiply times 3 in the ones place, and that's why we now have 12, which we add to the 2 that we carry to get 14. See how easy that was? Oh, it's multiplication, it's math education. Hey, Albert Einstein said that it's so easy to do. It's simple, it's breezy, it's fun and it's easy. Just buy a calculator, you can multiply too. And now the second digit. 7 times 8 is 56, which, as you know, is just 5 tens plus 6. And so we put the 6 right here in the tens place left of the 1. Carry the 5 like we did before to the top of the tens place next to the 4. Then multiply that 4 times 8 to get 32. See, isn't this great?
Again, they make the song so catchy for such, I don't want to say mundane thing. I'm curious, though, if some of these were, like, network things, where, like, you have to have educational stuff dedicated. And they're like, okay, we'll just put a song in and we'll make it extremely catchy. Because they also did, I believe they did the President of the United States as well, right?
I think they did a President of the United States song. They also did, I actually found one in here, all the words in the English language.
Yes, I actually have that as well. But yeah, we'll talk before we play the next song instead of this just being a song show. But yeah, it was, I mean, it was a song show. It was an everything show. It did, I don't know what it, I mean, is there anything that it did wrong? I guess action?
It did it managed to throw in everything. It was like, okay, we got songs. Okay, we got parodies. Okay. Random other stuff. Okay. Like, all sorts of other characters that can reflect whatever we want to throw into an episode. Okay, go. Have fun, guys. And all under the guy, all under Steven Spielberg going, yeah, have at. Go nuts. I mean, that's like, what was it? Steven Spielberg letting people just go nuts?
Yeah, I was about to say, I wonder how much of it, like, how much they would offend him by saying, okay, Steven, we can't. Okay, we know you're Steven, but we don't. Okay, okay, we're going to put it in no matter what. Okay, okay, can you just tone it down a bit?
Steven, no. Okay.
I mean, at the same time, it seems like a lot of that stuff from that era of Warner was just really well protected. Batman had a lot of stuff that they didn't get away with on Spider-Man and X-Men on the same network.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Toons is another one that got away with a lot. Animaniacs got away with a ton of stuff that wouldn't fly with that.
Animaniacs used the old rule of that all TV writers have used the, okay, we're going to do this thing, this thing, this thing, and we're going to do all these really horrible things that we know we won't get away with, and put the one thing in there we know we want to have in there. That old gag. Like, cause, that's the interview I watched actually said, like, that's what they did. They just came up with all these twisted things they knew they couldn't get away with, but just get the one joke they knew they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then we're like, censor. Like, that doesn't look so bad now.
Yeah, it's a great strategy, and it's something they use for a lot of shows, because you really just want to fight for that one, and you just kind of give them stuff that you know you won't get away with, so that they give you one as a compromise.
Like, oh, well, okay, we'll give you this. And it's like, oh, thank you so much, in their mind. Yes. Like,
yeah.
Got it through.
Is Trent still with us?
Yeah, still with you.
So what do you have to say? You've been so quiet.
Well, I don't really, like, I don't remember any of the songs. I don't really have that much to say. I always found them to be, like, really entertaining, but and really well written. But, I don't know, the show was what it was. It was, like you said, a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of different themes and even styles. Like, there were times where, like, a show had, like, a detective theme to it, or a Western theme to it, or a sci-fi theme to it. Like, the cool thing was, because it was a character-driven show, providing you were using the same characters, you could put them in any setting. So
there's actually, what's really neat is when Les Miserables hit theater, that brought back the Rita and Runt sketch that they did with that, with Les Miserables back to the spotlight again. Because everyone said, hey, remember this? And I went, son of a gun, they did do this on Animaniacs back in the day, didn't they? Because I couldn't remember until I was like, son of a gun.
you have to wonder who that was for, though, because how many kids would have gotten that
reference? No, that was for them. That was one of those they said, well, we have Bernadette Peters doing the voice of Rita. How can we not have her sing these songs? Or sing something similar to these songs? Yeah, go for it. It's like, will any of the kids get it? Nope. But, go for it.
I mean, out of this stuff, like I mentioned before, they had a Mary Poppins skit. And Mary Poppins was, I mean, Mary Poppins is even before our time.
Yeah, but you can get away with that. Cause
I would actually argue that point, because that's the type of movie, like, I saw Mary Poppins probably 20 times when I was a kid. And I'm younger than you, Earl.
Yeah, and I saw that all the time. And that was one of the movies I grew up with. I mean, you can get away with Mary Poppins because kids saw Mary Poppins. Parents passed that down from generation to generation. Like, they passed that down to their kids. And that was a movie that got passed down to kids. So you could see why you could do that. Heck, even Jerry Lewis to a degree, you could probably get away with to a degree because kids, because somehow parents probably showed that stuff to their kids because Jerry Lewis stuff is pretty safe. Now, of course, that's 50-50 because there's some people who are probably going, who the heck is this weird man saying funny voices going, hello, the funny man, funny doggy boy here? Like, again, horrible Jerry Lewis, but you get the point. But there's probably half the audience going, huh? And other people going, oh, yeah, because my parents showed me that, Jerry Lewis and Mary Poppins and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, as many pop culture references slipped, as some of the older stuff slipped over, kids said there's always another chance that people would go, oh, that's great. So, yeah, the Les Miserables, yeah, that was definitely for them. Definitely.
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 And I mean, it's, I would say the same thing with the Good Feathers. I mean, granted, they became their own thing, but I'm pretty sure Good Feathers isn't a show.
Yeah,
I can
only imagine that one. It's like, oh, we're gonna do these pigeons who are actually based off of Good Feathers, but I actually call it the Good Feathers, and it's like, wait, is any kids gonna get this? It's like, no, but all the kids need to know is they're just a kind of like a mob.
It's still entertaining.
Yeah, it's still entertaining. It's like, it's just a mob gang. Okay, perfect. Go for it. Have that.
Yeah, it's, but I mean, again, if you could make it entertaining for kids, they may not get the reference, but again, they are entertained.
Also,
as long as
you entertain Steven Spielberg. Steven's like, oh, that's hilarious. Do it.
Because
it was funny, actually, because they actually said that they actually had sometimes where Steven was in the middle of filming a movie, and they were like, they couldn't get him on the phone, so they just faxed him scripts, and Steven would go, and then Steven would just go, yeah, I approve of this, and then the networks would just go, yes, Mr. Spielberg.
Yeah, they even did parodies of something on, I mean, they did parodies of several things, but Power Rangers became a huge show.
Yes, I remember that one.
Super Strong Warner Siblings.
Super Strong Warner Siblings.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one very well. I laughed quite a lot at that episode as a kid, and good lord, I need to see that episode again. Now I really want to watch that episode again. Dang it.
Yeah, if it was only easy accessible.
I think it...
I guess we can start wrapping since we're nearing the hour mark. Is like if you had one big takeaway, from the Animaniacs and it's Aston Legacy, what would it be?
The fact that the show just went there, you know, like it laughed in the face of censors, it did its own thing, and it didn't treat kids like they were idiots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, it's something we've mentioned before, Batman Animated Series, Animaniac, Tiny Toons. A lot of the shows that we still speak about 20, 30 years later are those shows that didn't treat kids like they were idiots. Like, they treated kids like they were people, not talking down to them. And I think that's a very important thing. I think that's something that shows miss nowadays. I mean, there are the shows that, you know, kind of rise up to the top are like, Avatar, which doesn't speak down to its audience. It's an actual pretty mature show. Speaks of themes that most adult shows don't tackle at times. Tackle as well. And it's also something that, you know, comic books do a good job of in comic book TV shows because they have these superhumans, but they do tackle issues of life and death and re-life apparently at times. So yeah, there's that. I'm happy for Animaniacs. If you can check out some episode for its 20th anniversary. I don't know if the Hub's having a marathon. It should.
I don't think they are, as far as I've heard anything yet, but they really should. I mean, if anything, and like if I could say my quick little oddball takeaway is really that we're still talking about it 20 years later. That's the best way to put it. That we still talk about Animaniacs, Freakazoid, Pinky and the Brain, and all this stuff long after it's been canceled.
Long live the king.
Long live the king.
I mean, just to kind of wrap up, because I do want to make sure we do something, because we've been skipping on Batman versus our pole position. We don't actually have a opponent for Batman, but we'll do pole position since I have that in front of me. Last week, pole was who had the better villains between DC and Marvel, and I believe DC edged that one out by, I think it was something like 65 to 35?
Really?
I think what happens, and I think DC has more famous villains. Like, people know Joker and Lex Luthor.
No,
like,
that's
even
fair.
Even after the Marvel movies, like, what villains do you know? You know Loki and maybe Green Goblin and Magneto, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, personally speaking, I think DC has better villains. I think DC does a better job with their villains and their heroes a lot of the times.
Yeah, that is something to say, isn't it?
Okay, Marvel focus is on their heroes. I mean, sometimes their heroes become villains for their heroes and stuff like that. So, there's that. This week's poll is pretty much done as of this recording because it was time to pick this week's movie. Since we mentioned the date, it is Friday the 13th this week, and we decided that it'd be the best time to watch the Friday the 13th movie. So we put up a poll, which is a very odd phrasing. I get that. It's not often you get to vote on what you like least, but that was the poll that we put up. And right now,
Jason X,
surprising nobody. That's pretty much what we assumed it was going to be, but I wanted to do it democratically in case somebody else had a suggestion.
I can't wait to get drunk to that movie.
God.
Yes, so yes, it will be our 151 proof movie tomorrow night, or tonight as of this recording. In second place was Jason Goes to Hell, and then the final chapter.
Me too, yeah.
I think I did a preliminary on Twitter last week after the movie, because that's when we decided. And the two that came up the most are Jason X and Jason Takes Manhattan.
I actually don't mind Jason Takes Manhattan. It's much better than Jason Goes to Hell. I think that's why.
Yeah, and part of, I mean, technically Jason Takes Manhattan was taken off the table because we've done Jason Takes Manhattan, I think 2 years ago. And, people could hate it, but it has a scene where some dude tries to box Jason to death, so that will always be a great movie to me for that one scene. And then he uppercuts his head off.
Yep.
It also helps that Jason doesn't actually go to Manhattan for like the first hour of the movie.
So have the rules been posted yet?
I think we have rules on the site called Bears and Fairs, which are our traditional October rules, and I think we might use that. You can look over them and see if you have any suggestions. I think for the most part, they tend to stick more to slasher rules, kills, jump scares.
Oh, God. You are going to get wasted.
We should have a rule for technology that's supposed to look high tech, but looks like it was made in someone's house.
I don't know if we're going to use this rule. We had a rule for like movie tropes. Like horror movie tropes, like spitting up, somebody making a sound, so you decide to follow it instead of running away from it, people tripping.
But that's not fair, though, because most of the horror movie tropes were created by the Friday the 13th movies.
Which is why it works well for the rules. It doesn't work well for every movie, which is why we have like three sets of them. We've done it almost every year, and this year we're going to do... I don't know what we're doing. I wanted to do something different for Halloween, and we probably don't need to talk about this on air, so we'll wrap. So I want to thank Wesley, Trent, and Trent's very quiet friend, Jeff.
Hi. Hodor.
I choose you, Hodor 2.
And we'll be back next week with a discussion on Grand Theft Auto and open world video games,
ooh,
hopefully.
Exciting.
Exciting. You don't sound thrilled. So yes, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 143.
We're so sad we've no more time together, just to drop an anvil on your head and stuff your pockets full of dynamite and tie you to a rhino's head.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Spoil your dinner.